And I looked at him and said, you know, Jay, like, what's wrong? And the words that came out of his mouth were so surreal to me. I just really couldn't comprehend them in that time. What he said to me was, Robert, all of our customers are ransomware. And like I said, I couldn't process that. And my supralogical brain demanded a better and clearer answer, because that was just, you know, nonsensical. Like, how could it be all of them? As I watched those icons pop over to white, it was figuratively in my mind watching my business valuation go to zero and me feeling like my life had just come to an end.
This is the Cybercrime Lab, a podcast about true cybercrime stories, the impact on victims, and what businesses can do to protect themselves and their customers. And if you think you're not at risk, that is exactly where attackers want you to be.
In my experience, it only takes hearing what these attacks are like a few times to realize you need to prepare yourself for what could be a business-ending experience.
That's Andy Anderson, the founder and CEO of DataStream Insurance. For over a decade, Andy has been working with victims of cybercrime. He's seen firsthand the human impact of a cyber attack. Now, he's on a mission to shed light on the threats we all face from a world we can't see. Today, Andy has invited Robert Chofi to the Cybercrime Lab to share his story as the victim of a major ransomware attack that brought down more than 2,000 servers. Robert has worked as an IT service provider with his company, Progressive Computing, for close to 30 years. One fateful day on the eve of the 4th of July, he discovered that all of his customers had fallen victim to a ransomware attack. Not just a handful of them, but all of his customers. He immediately went into response mode, and Robert and his team were eventually able to recuperate all of their sensitive data, but not without several hiccups and the involvement of the FBI.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I was really excited to have you on because I've heard a little bit of this story already, but a chance to share it with our listeners and to just dive deeper. But for those who don't know you, don't know your company, if you could just take a minute and introduce yourself and your organization.
Sure. Thanks, Andy. First, just appreciate the invitation to come here and tell our story and hopefully leave some of the listeners with some lessons learned and some takeaways. But I'm Robert Chioffi. I'm one of the two co-founders of Progressive Computing, which is an outsourced IT services company servicing small and mid-sized companies, mainly in the New York City metropolitan area, although we have customers that are coast to coast. And those small and mid-sized companies will outsource all or most of their technology services to companies like mine. For those that may be engaged with a company like mine, you may hear the term MSP, and I'm going to apologize in advance for all of the acronyms that the technology world has introduced into the business lexicon. It's a totally different language that I call acronish. So you'll have to learn how to speak acronish, but MSP stands for Managed Services Provider. I prefer the term IT Services Providers because it speaks a little bit more closely to what we do.
And you've been at this a while, just not year two in this business.
Now, my partner and I have coming up on our 30th year in February. February of 2023 will be our 30th year being in business. So we've certainly seen a lot in those 30 years and have changed a lot. I mean, in fact, our company has probably morphed about four or five times in what we do simply because the technology has changed and we need to adapt to it.
I'm sure we'll dig into all kinds of different directions, but why don't you start telling the story of what happened to you a couple of years ago?
So it was July 2nd of 2021, and being in the IT services business, typically every day is, you know, it's almost like running an ER. We're constantly reacting to things or working on projects as well. So that would be the hospital services behind the scenes, providing those proactive and strategic type of preventative care services. But, you know, we're doing it in IT. But that particular day, especially if you are in the Northeast or in the upper Midwest, you appreciate the beautiful weather, 10 best days of the year, the weathermen call it, simply because it just was. It was 80 something degrees, blue skies, was not humid. And the forecast for that entire July 4th weekend, which included Monday being closed July 5th in observance of Independence Day, people were already out of the office. They were already taking their extended vacations. Our ticket counts were low. Our mood was incredibly high. And I personally had been thinking about the three barbecues that I was invited to, as well as friends of ours that have a boat out of Tarrytown, New York. If you know where that is, it's just underneath the Tappan Zee Bridge on the Hudson River. So we were going to go boating that weekend. My wife, she's a social butterfly. So she was really excited about the prospect of, you know, enjoying a long holiday weekend with such beautiful weather. It was about noon. I was in my kitchen and I saw my director of operations ascend to the second floor, which is where I was. And the look on his face and the way he was walking spoke volumes to me. His body language was telling me that someone had just died. I mean, that's literally what my brain was telling me. Like, there's something wrong with Jay. And, you know, he's bearing some really bad news. And I became alarmed. So I stood up because I was sitting in the kitchen eating lunch and I could see out the door and down this long hallway where Jay was now walking down. And I met him at the threshold of the kitchen. And here I was going into sort of this mental consolation mode, even bracing myself for that bad news, like how you see movies where the general shows up at your front door, you know, and you know that your son or daughter or loved one is overseas and here comes the bad news. And I looked at him and said, you know, Jay, like, what's wrong? And the words that came out of his mouth were so surreal to me. I just really couldn't comprehend them in that time. What he said to me was, Robert, all of our customers are ransomwared. And like I said, I couldn't process that. And my supralogical brain demanded a better and clearer answer because that was just, you know, nonsensical. Like, how could it be all of them? So I began to interrogate him a little bit. And it's not funny, but that's kind of the mode I went into and said, you know, all right, Jay, come on. Like, which ones? Like, what are you talking about? Which one is affected? And he just started rattling off customer name after customer name. And that beautiful weather that I had described, that light, jovial mood that we were all in, that opened the windows, breathe in the fresh air. Suddenly the air became stifling. The room started to close in on me. The skies began to darken. And all those wonderful plans that I had hoped to experience over that weekend suddenly began to evaporate. So I can now see at this point and here, being at this vantage point in our office, I can see people out of the corner of my eye in a couple different directions. And I can hear conversations about things like, I'm not sure what's going on. Let me get a technician and let me find out. I think there's a big widespread issue going on. Please calm down. We'll get some answers for you. And these are the types of conversations I heard that were now confirming what Jay had told me was that we were in the midst of having 100% of our customers ransomwared.
It's hard to imagine what was going through Robert and his co-founder Jay's minds when they discovered that not one, not five, but all of their customers had fallen victim to such a massive ransomware attack. For our listeners who aren't familiar with these types of cyber attacks, ransomware is a malicious software, also called malware, that denies a user or organization access to their data. Malware also often threatens to publish sensitive data if the victim doesn't give them whatever ransom they're after, which can be especially scary for business owners in the healthcare or government space.
I mean, wow, such a juxtaposition between the emotional toll and like a beautiful day. And it's not in the movies where it actually is storming when the terrible thing's happening, right? It can be beautiful days. But how long is that? Is it minutes? He's at the door and then you're immediately starting to hear those phone calls?
When he came upstairs, because he knew he had to tell me so that we could start mobilizing. In fact, I mean, he wasn't even really sure. He just knew he had to tell me. I don't even think he understood what we were going to be doing next. But yeah, I mean, it was already happening. I just happened to have been in my kitchen enjoying a meal for once. I never eat lunch, but that day I chose to eat.
The holiday, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a light day, right? Mood was incredibly light in the office. We were all kind of just joking around and just thinking about, oh, you know, maybe we'll let everybody go early that day, right? You know, because there's really nothing going on. So we thought. So at that point, I just grabbed Jay and did the only thing that I instinctually knew what to do was to go to my office with him and start poking around to see what more I could learn. You will not find this term in business books or anywhere in any of those personality traits. I call myself a fixer because as a technician, this is what I grew up as. I was always a tinker. I was a computer science student. I was always messing around with electronics. I had computers before anybody even knew what they were. I see a problem, I know how to fix it. I do all the stuff in my own house, not that I would do it professionally, but I do plumbing, electrical, like you name it, carpentry, I can do it all. I can fix cars simply because my head tells me I can. But here I was now faced with a problem that I had absolutely no idea what to do. And as I was sitting at my desk, searching for answers, logging into systems, checking into different platforms that we use to manage our customers, suddenly I saw all the icons on my desktop start to turn white. And I know that that may not make sense immediately for everybody listening, but what it essentially means is that's the telltale sign of a ransomware attack. When all the files become encrypted on your computer no longer recognizes that a file is a Word icon or an Excel document or a PowerPoint document.
Oh, interesting.
And so all those icons that Windows knows to represent as the W or the P or the X for Excel, it just doesn't know how to interpret it. So it just puts a white box. And now suddenly the thing that I had been hearing about in the office and what Jay had been reporting to me was now front and center on my own computer.
Let's get back to that day. I mean, like a lightning bolt out of literally a blue sky, this sort of hits you. And now you're literally seeing it on your own screen happening. And you're getting calls from your customers because like literally they're experiencing the same thing within minutes. And their businesses are just sort of...
We're all at a standstill.
People probably don't appreciate. You don't realize how dependent... Well, I mean, maybe people do. You know, the day your internet goes off because the cable guy like cut the line, you know, in the street or whatever, right? Imagine that day, but for like 2 weeks.
Well... You know, one of the things that happened to me immediately, you know, to kind of cut back to that scene of me sitting at my desk, Jay is in my office standing behind me. I'm literally exactly where I'm sitting right now, speaking to you, looking at exactly the same three screens that I'm looking at right now. As a business owner, I have been working very hard with my partner on business valuation because there will come a day, one day, like it or not, we will have to exit this business, whether I die at my desk or whether we plan a successful exit in some sort of way. So valuation is obviously very important. And that ties back to my personal life plan. I have a lot of planning that I do with my wife. We're actually very regimented about it. And we have a lot of life and personal goals that we want to achieve, some of which are very tightly bound to the valuation that I get from my business. I watched all of this evaporate within seconds right in front of my eyes. As I watched those icons pop over to white, it was figuratively in my mind watching my business valuation go to zero and me feeling like my life had just come to an end. Because this is the bulk of what my personal wealth is surrounded by and what is fueled by is this business. I watch my reputation, at least mentally in my head, go out the window. I watch my value go to zero. I watched all the lives of the 30 some odd people that were employed here and all of their families being affected in my mind. It was literally that scene from a movie or that overly used cliche of you watch your life flash before your eyes. I'm telling you, I watched my entire life flash before my eyes. 30 years of blood, sweat, and tears just evaporate right in front of me. So it was a terrifying feeling, and I didn't really know what to do. And for many minutes, I sat in my office emotional and without many words to say.
While we often focus on the cyber attack victim's point of view, it's also important to note how stressful it can be for an IT service provider like Robert. You can almost hear the stress in his voice as he recounts the day of this massive ransomware attack, and for good reason. A situation like this can quickly spiral if it's not addressed within 24 hours or less. So Robert needed to move fast.
Okay, so what's next?
Sometimes a pop-up will pop up. In this case, one of the files left behind was a text file. So for everybody who knows that silly little program, Notepad, I mean, they do it intentionally. So you double-click on it, and essentially it's a ransom note, which I have a copy of, you know, with instructions for not only an explanation of what was done, but instructions for how to pay the ransom and lock your files. But what we had discovered, and I'll jump around a little bit, What we had soon discovered later on is that 100% of our endpoints that we manage, the computers, every single Windows PC and server that we have under our care and management at that time, which totaled about 2,500 computers, of which 250 of them were servers, 100% of them were encrypted with ransomware through a piece of software that we use to manage all of those systems. So every single IT company like us in the world and every single IT department in large enterprises and even smaller companies needs automated ways to patch and maintain and inventory and control all the computers under their care and management. And so what had happened was that a hacker had discovered what is called a zero-day exploit. And I know that's very technical. We can unpack that if you want. But a zero-day exploit, basically an unknown security hole, broke into this system unbeknownst to us and used it to push their malicious software on every single computer under our care, including our own. We use the same software to maintain our own systems. So they used this piece of software to deploy their ransomware. And we were one of about 60 companies worldwide that was affected by this supply chain attack, because that's what it was. They used a supply chain, meaning software that we had entrusted to use in our systems, to push this malicious software out.
I thought it was much bigger than that. I thought it was into the hundreds, even thousands of organizations.
Well, it was 60 of us using the software called Kaseya VSA. And this is all public knowledge, and it's not a disparagement against Kaseya because they were a victim as much as we were. But 60 of Kaseya's customers, us being one of them, were affected by this. So now let's do some of the math. I'm one of 60, but I managed 80 customers with their software. So now let's add those 80 to that 60, and let's keep going down that list and determine the full number and extent of companies that were affected. There is no tally because every victim would have to put forward their numbers. I'm doing so publicly, but the estimate is around 1,500 companies were affected, and the loose estimate is in the hundreds of thousands of endpoints. One such famous, or I should say well-known, company in Europe, Co-op, it's a supermarket, had about 500 stores throughout Europe that they had to shut down because all of their computers in each store, all their cash registers were running Windows and had that Kaseya management software installed on them.
And it's, again, if you're doing any sort of IT and you're doing anything where your people aren't in the same physical location together, whether you're using external IT help or you're at all a distributed organization where even an IT person would want to say, hey, like log in from offsite, like they're at their house and want to do something. That's kind of every company these days, right? Because like everyone's working from home and, or at least some of the time. Or
yeah, it's all about productivity and efficiency, and tools like the one that we were using enables us to achieve those business goals and overcome those challenges. So our efficiency and our productivity was used as a weapon, right? As a cudgel against us.
Well, and then you said you sort of had some of your own perspective, right? So is there anything else you'd want to add to kind of this from your own experiencing it?
You know, some interesting things happened about 8 days into the attack. The website that was collecting the ransomware that you could pay, right, to get the unlock key so you could restore your systems, suddenly went offline. And this was incredibly mysterious to many people in the industry because they generally never go offline. I don't know what that conversation was like, but I'm sure it went something like, hey, come on, this is ridiculous. You got to knock it off. You got to do something here to help us. And that's where it was speculated that the Russian government had intervened and either basically told the perpetrators to take down the website or had forced them to do so. The other little interesting twist here is that the FBI actually obtained the decryption keys only within a matter of days of the attack, but had not released the decryption keys to the public, like companies like mine and, you know, to all of my customers as well. And again, this is a bit speculative on my part because it's suspected that if they had done so, then they would have tipped off to the bad guys, hey, we're in your systems, right? Because how else would they have that? The only way that they would have those decryption keys is if the FBI had been hacking back. So I think the FBI didn't want to blow their cover, so to speak, and allowed the criminals to keep going so that they can collect more intelligence. Again, this is my speculation based on what I read in the news and said it's got to be. And some people have asked me, hey, aren't you mad that they didn't release those keys until day 15, 16, 17, whatever it was? It would have saved me and all my customers a tremendous amount of heartache and time, stress, emotionally and physically, and money, piles of money. But if they were able to somehow make an impact against the bad guys, then I say, you know, go for it. But thankfully, I had Jay in here with me, and he, you know, basically just kind of put his hand on my shoulder and uttered words that I still remember to this day. He says, you know, Robert, this is a dark hour, but we're going to get through this, or we're going to get through this together. It was in that moment where I was staring into the abyss that finally I started to see some glimmers of light, because I knew I had a great team of people here, and that one way, come hell or high water, we were going to find a way through this.
Well, thank you for, I know that, and I can only imagine, like, literally staring in the same screens and in the same spot that you experienced this, like, you've got to kind of, but I guess you've re-experienced that space so many times, like, you don't have PTSD every day on it.
I don't have PTSD every day. When I tell this story, especially when I'm on stage in front of a live audience, I don't know why in those particular moments, I randomly kind of lose it. I get really choked up, and I have to stop for like a minute just to kind of catch my breath, because it hits me at different points of time in telling this. And the whole day and the weeks that followed were so emotional that it sneaks up on me every once in a while. Most of the time I can kind of smile and, you know, just like get through it and just, you know, be the tough guy that I need to be on the outside. But on the inside, it still stings.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, your team's there. What starts to happen over the next, you know, hours and days? What do you guys do? And
first thing I did was, like, I just kind of, like, instinct started to take over. And I quote different people throughout history. You know, the first quote is Dante's Inferno, right? You know, abandon all hope, ye who enter here. I felt like I was at the gates of hell, and there really was only one direction to go, and that was to push open the gates and go through. There was no going backwards, up, down, sideways, no teleporting out of that situation. I knew I had to walk the road through hell. I just needed to figure out how to get through there. And that reminded me of another favorite historical character, Winston Churchill, who said, you know, when you're going through hell, keep going. So I kind of almost went into General Patton mode and started barking orders at people, unemotional, and just told Jay, go downstairs, grab the whole help desk team, pull them upstairs in the conference room. I don't even know who I told upstairs to do the same up here. Maybe it was even me. Just get in the conference room. And I felt like I owed my team some sort of, in the moment, a little, dare I say, a pep talk. That sounds a little too underwhelming. But I needed to rally the troops. I needed to instill a sense of unity and really not sugarcoat this. So, you know, I told them, I'm like, look, it's a potentially catastrophic event here. I know your phones are blowing up, your email's blowing up, everybody's pissed off, everybody's yelling at you. But let's remember our culture and our four core values. Our four core values are team, together we get it done, commitment, determined to do what it takes, humble confidence, service without ego, and respect always. So, you know, I reminded the team of those four core values and said, these values are now the things that we put in every single email, and they're hanging all over the walls, and we talk about them in all hands meetings and things like this, but the war is upon us. These mean more now to us than anything has ever meant to us before. So what we found throughout the upcoming days and weeks is we relied on those values to help guide us through this process of recovery. And, you know, we were just determined to do whatever it took to get the job done. So that plus a whole community, a story about how the community came to really rally around us was how we ended up recovering just about 100% of those 2,500 endpoints in under 17 calendar days.
Wow. So there was no, like, we're going to pay the ransom.
Paying the ransom is dubious, and I'm not expecting people to see me right now, but if you could, there's an American flag hanging behind me, and my parents were immigrants to this country. This country, its ideals and values mean so much to me, and paying that ransom, especially to a foreign agent, just felt so unethical and immoral and just wrong in every cell in my body. I could not bring myself to even consider that as an option. I don't think my customers would have been happy doing so either. I mean, some of them might have been, but I think morally and ethically, it was the wrong thing to do, especially when we had a recovery path in front of us, because we were very confident in the technology that we had to be able to restore systems. The only thing really working against us now was the clock. It was time. We had a math problem of bandwidth, meaning how do I get my team of 30 people to do simultaneous recoveries for 80 customers? And this is where the community really stepped up for us, being part of a peer group community of other IT service professionals throughout the country, as well as some of the vendors that we worked with. Many of them showed up from as far away as California, Texas, Florida, Kansas, Minneapolis, Massachusetts, Iowa. I'm probably missing at least a couple of states, but we had swarms of people who found out through the grapevine what had happened to us, some of which were even strangers to us that just knew of our situation through a mutual friend and decided to show up at our doorstep to help us was just a testament to the power of peers and the power of community.
Coming together as they did, the IT community and Robert's team were able to pull out of this massive ransomware attack on the other side. While working alongside the FBI, they had to invoke their cyber liability insurance policy, and they were assigned a breach coach to walk them through the next steps. Forensics had to be done to understand the nature of this attack so that it wouldn't happen again, and to find the best path to recovery. A nursing home and a healthcare facility among them, they took care of their first responder clients first. And while the experience as a whole was painful for Robert, his company, and the victims of this attack, there's always a lesson to be learned.
Yeah, I think perhaps the metaphor for this entire conversation has been this sort of idea that this is going to be a lightning strike out of the blue sky. You can't know when it may happen or what it may look like because it may be so new and different. And that's, I think, one of the most challenging parts about thinking about this as a danger. And we walk backwards into the future. We try and learn from what we've seen, but it's going to be different and new.
And you apply those lessons moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah. As we sort of begin to kind of close this conversation, what would be those lessons? How have you changed? And how would you advise folks who hopefully can maybe make changes without having the sort of searingly painful experience that you had?
Well, there's a number of things I think that every business needs to be thinking about. Number one, you've got to make sure that you have the right partner in this type of fight. Just as if you were going to be very discerning about who your medical doctor is or who your attorney or who your accountant is. I think for years, IT professionals were kind of looked as a notch below that or even two notches below that. Your IT professional really needs to be not only credentialed, but prepared to have these types of strategic conversations with you at that sort of level. And you need to make sure that you're vetting your provider well enough so that they're aware of what the industry best practices are and that they have contingency plans and the ability to not only help them recover, but even help themselves recover. So just some other random key takeaways is if you have not invested in a cyber liability insurance policy, you really need to look hard and deeply at that. But again, that's not something that any old insurance broker or carrier is going to be able to help you with. There's a lot of particular nuances about cyber liability insurance policies that need to be properly vetted alongside your IT professional. And that's something that we have, you know, started to develop relationships with certain brokers and carriers to ensure that we're getting the right coverage for our customers. What if internet goes down for a week? What do we do? How do we help our customers? And we had talked about cyber attacks too, like what would happen? There's really a lot of different lessons here. The final one I'll leave you with is around thinking about an incident response. How does your business operate without the key systems that you have now? So anyone listening to this, what if I said, I'm going to take your phone system away right now? What'll happen to your business? Okay, let's play that game again now with email. Let's play that game again now with some you know, maybe your distribution software or your fundraising software or you know, whatever it is that your financial management tool that you provide financial plans to your customers, what would happen if any of those systems suddenly went away? How would you recover? How long can you sustain business without that system in place? What are some of the things that you could do in the absence of those tools for minutes, days, hours, weeks, whatever? You got to kind of tabletop and role play those scenarios to really understand where your risks are. And then in order to develop plans and even potentially put some budget behind how you're going to be able to respond in the event that any one of those systems disappears on you.
Yeah. I want the listeners to know that I didn't like pay Robert to say all that sort of stuff. And I didn't provide him notes to all this, because that's, you know, almost exactly the thing that we talk about over and over again, right?
Well, listen, it's universal. And no, you didn't set me up for any of that. You didn't slip me an extra $20 bill underneath the table here to say those things. Full disclosure, I'm not paid for this, right? I'm just doing this because we're a victim. And I think victimhood has no shame. But certainly it affirms that, you know, what I had just said is really a universal truth now. We cannot put our heads in the sand here and pretend that this doesn't exist. And if you're a small business and think that they're not going to come after you, guess what? Every one of my customers is a small business and they got hammered.
And I think it can be sort of overwhelming. I mean, agree with all of those things, right? And, you know, but sometimes people think, oh my gosh, that's going to be like my full-time job for months on end. And the IT folks, you know, think, okay, in order to put something like this in place, like I'd have to stop doing everything else. From all the conversations, and we have many of them, you know, gosh, just do something. And actually the simpler, the, you know, more straightforward that you do, often the better. Don't make perfect the enemy of good, and complexity is the enemy of consistency. And from everybody that I talk to, it's like actually doing something simple, often being comprehensive about it, touching all of the areas. That's the big three that we always talk about, is the technology, the compliance piece, and the insurance. Like those are your big three categories, and having some stuff underneath each one of those. But minutes and hours worth of work will pay huge dividends.
I think a lot of people feel like frozen because they just feel like, I'm so way behind. Where do I start? Just do something, put something on paper. If you just start, you're going to be well ahead of where you were before. And forget comparisons to where everybody else is. Just start working on it. Even if you block off an hour a month, which is insufficient time for this sort of thing, but put an hour a month into it. Before you know it, by the end of the year, you got 12 hours into it. And that's going to be some decent stuff. Or you can engage with professionals like us, right? That can help you move the needle a little faster and better.
Yeah. It's like working out or writing that term paper that you've been putting off. Just start. It'll get easier, right?
Definitely.
Robert, this was, again, exceeded expectations, and I had pretty high expectations already. So I think so many people who've been a part of these and been victims are so afraid to talk about what happened. We have this horrible in the IT industry with these events. We shame the victim and sort of blame them for all the things that they...
Hey, if I can leave you with a thought there, I mean, because I was embarrassed by this whole thing, and I think all of us were here, and I had my tail between my legs when I was talking to my customers, but if I could just share with you very quickly, one client said to me, Robert, we thought about terminating our relationship with you guys, but we thought about it again and said, who would we want to walk through war with again? Because it'll happen again eventually. Do we want another IT company that's never seen the action? Or do we want a company that got beat up and saw war and came back with some experience and knows how to deal with this situation? So I'm certainly not advocating that every IT company go out and expose themselves and get hurt the way we did. But it is sort of an upside to this. There is a silver lining in this cloud for us. And that is that we do have the experience of being battle tested. And should it happen again, I'm going to be well better prepared for it than I was last time.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish it on anyone, but from the people who've experienced it, it seems to have changed them in multiple ways. Robert, thank you again. Best of luck. I owe you, you know, you're not paid for this, but I owe you at least a couple of drinks the next time we see you for this, and any of the listeners too, to be able to hear what it's really like. This is awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, in the event we ever cross paths with ever whoever's listening, please. I mean, you know, in the likely event that we do, but I'm totally open to continuing the conversation with anybody who wants to reach out to me.
I mean, the show notes will put information about potentially how to contact you. And also, you know, for anyone in and around the New York area, if you want somebody who's really lived through it, definitely reach out.
Well, we did.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Cyber Crime Lab, brought to you by Datastream Insurance. When the worst happens, you're going to want the best financial, legal, and technical support to get you back up and running again. With cyber insurance from Datastream, we find the most comprehensive insurance coverage on the market alongside critical post-incident customer support. Go to datastreaminsurance.com today and see how we can help you secure your business data. That's datastreaminsurance.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and give us a 5-star review. You'll find show notes and any resources mentioned at cybercrimelabpodcast.com. We hope you'll join us next episode. Until then, stay safe, and more importantly, stay ready.